Welcome to Truth Is Now Treason, a podcast that annihilates the lies but defends justice and truth, particularly the truth.
Welcome, my fellow traitors, to yet another award-winning episode of Truth Is Now Treason. I'm Dietrich, and today, you're going to be hearing from somebody who's very special to us. I've known her for a long time, Lennox has known her even longer, and you're going to find out why here shortly. Yeah, before we get started, here's a woman who's gone through quite a bit, and as you'll hear her say, some of it's self-inflicted, but she's got a story that's pretty neat and very inspiring. She's lost two husbands, one back in 1998 to a heart attack, and then her second husband she lost to cancer in 2022. And through it all, she's found something that's been her guiding principle.
Traders, we have a special guest with us. You'll never guess who it is. It's my one and only mom. So mom, I guess I could call you by your real name, Carol Keene. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
In this series called Meet the Trader, we always like to have people on and just let them share their story. Mom, just on a personal note, what is one thing that you enjoy doing? I know what I would probably say it is, but what's one thing that you enjoy doing in your spare time?
Reading and studying.
That wasn't what I thought you would say. She loves to sing, traders. She actually learned how to play the piano by herself. She just plays by ear and sings.
Always love to sing too. My style's out of style now.
Can you give our audience a picture of maybe what kind of a background you came from and what your life was like?
I have to go way back as a child. My mother and my dad were alcoholics, both of them. And they were on the brink of divorce. And growing up, Dad would jokingly say to me, "She's my little Miss Accident." And I didn't realize what that was, but I didn't think it was a bad thing because he'd always smile and I had a special bond with my dad. Mom, not so. My mom's side of the family were devoted Christians. My mom had drifted away years before after teaching Sunday school in her youth. About the age of, I'd say probably 7 or 8, my aunt and uncle picked me up and would take me to church occasionally. And they took me to the Morse Road Nazarene Camp. And I remember when they closed the service, everybody standing, and I was crying. My heart, I just felt like I needed to do something. And Aunt Nellie looked down at me and she said, "Carol Ann, do you feel like you need to go pray?" And I said, "Yes." And so she walked down. I remember it was a long aisle and it was actually didn't have cement floors. It was like a dust on the floor. And I remember going to the altar, and I remember asking Jesus to forgive me. I'll never forget that feeling. I've never forgotten it. But inside, it was like I was clean. And looking back at it, I thought, well, why would I have felt such a clean feeling? Because as a child, I didn't think I'd ever really done anything wrong. And I didn't understand what was happening. But I went back home, and there again, by this time, Mom and Dad had divorced, and my mom was doing a lot of drinking, and it was more like me taking care of her at times. But that feeling that I had back there never left. And I got out and I got with the wrong kids. I went from a straight A student down to getting D's. And I don't think I ever got any F's. Maybe D's was my lowest grade. But I got in trouble all the time. And I didn't think anything about it. I just felt like something inside wasn't right. And this happened after my dad passed away. The court had said that when I turned 12, that I'd be able to choose which parent I wanted to live with. And I knew definitely which parent. I was going with Dad. On March 29th, before my 12th birthday, my dad passed away. And I don't know what happened, and I didn't realize until counseling with a pastor later on in my adult life, I started acting out my anger, getting in trouble, getting in fights, grades dropping. It was downhill from there. I got in with the wrong kids, met an older guy who was 4 years older than me. That relationship was not anything but sinful. I had two children by him. And last child, my mother forced me to take him to Franklin Village the very next day that I came home from the hospital with him. And I refused to put him up for adoption. And I remember going there and putting that child into that woman's hands and walking out. That kind of activated more anger. And I got in trouble and I went to places I shouldn't have been. But in one of those places, I met this handsome guy. And for some reason, he walked over. And I wasn't even supposed to be in there. It was a bar. I wasn't supposed to be there. But the bartender had said, as long as you don't attempt to drink, you're okay. And I love to dance. So I said, okay. I was there and he came over and asked me to dance. And I danced with him. And all of a sudden, this fight breaks out in the bar. And so I hid in the bathroom and the police came. And luckily, they didn't search the bathroom. And so I got out of there free and clear of that. But I did end up later on in juvenile detention center. And this handsome guy, your dad, would walk, when he got off work, he'd walk by the detention center and I could see him out the window and we'd throw each other kisses. So anyway, they were going to send me on to Marysville. My mom promised me that's what was going to happen. As it turned out, in there, I made a very difficult prayer, not knowing how I should pray. But I told the Lord, I said, if you let me get out of here, I'll become Christian. Well, sure, that's easy to say. But the crazy thing is, for 3 nights in a row in that juvenile center, I had the same dream. I would be released before they sent me to Marysville, and I would run away. As it turned out, that dream came true. They released me before they sent me on, and I immediately contacted your dad, which at that time wasn't your dad.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay. He says, I'll buy him 2 bus tickets. We're leaving. And so we did. We got on the bus and went to Illinois. And we were there almost a year in Illinois, just he and I. Nobody back here knew where we were until finally we called his grandmother and told her. That's when I got pregnant with you. And I could tell the pregnancy was different and I was afraid. And so we made the decision to come back. As time went on, come time to deliver the baby, I went into hospital. And that was a horrible experience because I was much, much sicker than I realized I was. Because during this pregnancy, my kidney had a stone that would not pass. And they didn't know it. I didn't know it because back then they didn't have the equipment to check you like they can today. And plus, they didn't do those things during pregnancy. By the time you were born, I was so sick I couldn't even stand up. I was vomiting. I was running high fever. You had my infection. They sent you to Children's to treat you. So I laid there in the hospital. I'll never forget. I can tell you the exact place. Grant Hospital, downtown Columbus, 6th floor. And my brother-in-law, which would be your uncle, had a radio program on Sunday. And so I called my mother-in-law, or my to-be mother-in-law, and told her, I said, I want to hear Charles preach. I said, would you put the phone up to the radio? And she did. I can't tell you what he preached on. All I remember is I burst into tears and I called out on God and said, please, Lord, forgive me and help me get my life straightened up. That was Mother's Day, 1964. That same clean feeling came that I'd had when I was 8 years old at the Morse Road camp. And so I started my journey with Christ, and it's been a beautiful journey. Has it been perfect? No. There's been ups, there's been downs, but there's always been that hold on my life. And I look back now, and we call it prevenient grace when we talk about it in our churches, but the prevenient grace that God had on my life. And when I read the scripture where it says, the very moment of our conception, God sees it. Dad might have jokingly said that I was a misaccident, and I was. It didn't save their marriage. They still got a divorce. But I was not an accident to God. I've paid for my consequences of my sin, but yet God has always walked with me and been there in some form or fashion that I never recognized until just recent years. Christian life, you don't get saved because everything's going to be hunky-dory-do, or it's going to be roses, because there's the thorns too. And if God just made everything go well for us. Everybody be running to get saved just for the blessings.
Right.
But we still go through the same heartaches, the same hurts in life that other people go through. And yet it is just different because there's an anchor and it holds us in the midst of the storms. And I know that Jesus is alive. I know that God is real. And I would never, ever want to exchange my life, even with all the hurts.
Hey, traders, if you liked that story, if you liked that testimony that my mom shared, will you hit the like button? Will you share it and tell others? Because you don't realize how much you help us by just doing that, just hitting that like button or commenting in the comment section. This is a woman who has suffered more than anybody that I know, and her faith is still strong. One of the things that she shared with us, you weren't able to hear, is that God slowly put her pieces back together because she was willing to give it to the Lord and let Him work it out little by little. She was able to get my sister back after going to court and fighting it out. My grandma evidently threw a tantrum in front of the judge, and the judge automatically just slammed the gavel down and said, "Child awarded to the mother." And then 10 months later, Mom and Dad were able to get Billy, my brother, back from Children's Services or from the family that he was placed in. And so we all became a family. Was it perfect? No. But God began to heal her and heal our family and make it the family that He wanted us to be. And if you're listening and you feel like your life is in shattered pieces, and you really don't know how to get out, you don't know what to do, you feel like all hope is lost, I challenge you to get down on your knees or open the Bible or just cry out and ask God to take your pieces and make you new. He doesn't patch you up. He makes you a new creation, a new person, if you let Him. We wish that for you, traders. He's a promise keeper. He is faithful, like Mom said. Until next time, my fellow traders.